Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Ah, James Bostic here. Conservative's Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com. We do it twice a week. Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com. And we got some things happening. Got a couple more hosts that are going to be joining the rotation, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. As for right now, don't ask me anything, man. I just work here.
Okay.
I don't know. There sure is a lot of crap to get into. That I know for a fact. And one of the things we're going to talk about, as we are wont to do, is dementia. It's the elephant in the room, man. If you have elderly parents, yep, absolutely. If you have an elderly president, oh my God. 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 It's pretty bad. All right. It's pretty bad. Now, and no one now, all of a sudden, you know, these same minds, these same heads and editorialists and anchormen and what have you, influencers, media influencers, talking heads, all these people that 2 years ago basically saying that Joe Biden was the greatest political mind since Benjamin Disraeli, since Lord Blackstone, since Thomas Daggone Jefferson, are now saying, you know what? I don't think so. I'm thinking no. We're going to have to come up with something else. And they will, invariably, I think. But at the same time, they're stuck with the fact that the president says he's going to run again. He's been saying it for a while now. Somebody's been saying it. We think it was the president. You know, the thing of it is, and I guess we're kind of lucky, because if it hadn't been for this supply chain screw up that Peter Buttigieg is responsible for. It's entirely possible that the microprocessors from China could have gotten here in time for the Disney people to have perfected the animatronic Joe Biden. The Westworld Joe Biden. But it didn't happen that way, man. And everybody can see that, you know, in terms of cerebral adornment, the emperor has no clothes. And we've seen it, you and I, and all the people that are, you know, for real about this. And the people that act like they don't see it, the people that have so far pretended not to know and are now just suddenly making the discovery that Joe's, okay, they've known all the time. And he's lasted a lot longer than I thought he would. I really didn't think that he would have made it through last summer, let alone this one. And summer's not over yet. And I have said from the very beginning, and you can go back to any show I've done where we've talked about Joe Biden, at some point, the medications that they have him on to stem the flow of this stuff, they're not going to work anymore. There's not going to be enough medication in the world to keep the inevitable from happening. I mean, at some point, the level of his cognitive decline, the pace of his cognitive decline is going to outstrip anything the pharmacy people, you know, anything that medical science can do to stop it or to reverse it. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it on a daily basis. And while there are a lot of people I know, and, you know, maybe I'm one of them, that are kind of happy about what's going on with Joe Biden, and that's, you know, if it were anybody else, yeah, I think I would be unhappy, but this guy's a terrible person. And he's the patriarch of a terrible, terrible family. And they could have stopped this at any time. Dr. Jill Biden could have stopped this at any time, before it even got started, even after it got started. But she didn't, did she? James Biden, his brother, Hunter Biden, his son, Malibu Stacy Biden, I don't know what her name is. They got a daughter. That's another story in itself. It's kind of creepy. None of these people stopped it from happening. Not one. Let me see if I can find it here. Last week, Tucker Carlson, I think it was Thursday, Friday maybe, Tucker went and just nailed it, laid it out there as he always does. Somewhere I saw, I can't remember where it was. It's nonsense. The Tucker Biden for president. There's Tucker Biden, Tucker Carlson for president, 2024. No. He's a TV guy. Okay. He's like Mr. Cartoon. He's right in what he does and he's terrific at it, but he's, that's not what he's there for. He's not there to be president. He's there to do what he's doing and he does a hell of a job of it. Okay. Let me see here. What we got? Biden decline. No, that ain't it. Oh, my God. Don't tell me I didn't know. Well, tell you what we'll do. I'll load it up now. I thought I had done that. Anyway, we can't. How can we deny it? And I really mean this. How can we deny this? Everybody sees it. Everybody sees it. And they just act like it doesn't happen. let me find it here. There was a doctor I saw the other day who was he's talking about this, and the question is this, and we all know the answer, and whatever the answer is going to be it's going to be horrifying, is what it's going to be. Let's just say that nothing happens. Okay? Let's just say that he gets through this 4 years without any serious decline. And that he runs again. That's going to put him at what? Getting out of office. 86? Let's see, 70, 79 now. Yeah, okay, it must be 76. I mean, 86. But here's the thing, and now that it's become so obvious, and we may be at that point where the cognitive decline is outstripping the medicine's ability to keep it in check. We might be there. But the bottom line is this. He's suffering from dementia. We don't have to be doctors to see it. All right? And it's getting worse every day. Now, you know it and I know it. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. The people who handle him know it. We've seen the note cards telling him when to sit, when to stand, what to say, how to... Okay, the vice president knows it. She was beating him up on this during the campaign in the primaries. Hunter Biden, the president's drug-addicted, prostitute-using, influence-peddling son, knows it. If you've read the book Laptop from Hell, you can see where he ridicules the old man. But here's the thing. This is not a partisan benefit. All right? I mean, it's going to be seen that way. And Republicans and conservatives are going to benefit from it because I think these disastrous policies and this old man who's fundamentally lost at sea are a massive turnoff to a lot of voters who went into this thing thinking that Joe Biden was a moderate, Joe Biden was going to be okay because he wasn't Trump, and we didn't like Trump for some reason, no matter what the economy was, no matter our preeminence in national security or any of those things. Forget that. For some reason, they didn't like him, and they voted for this guy, and now look what we have. Okay, here we go. Friday night, I think last week, Tucker Carlson talking about, again, the elephant in the room. Maybe.
Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand.
I think we have young Mr. Ducey with us right now. You heard Dana's comments and everyone's comments.
Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand.
It's gremlins. By God, that's the only way. I don't know what's going on here. I keep hitting the button, but it keeps playing another track. So, you know, what happens in a case like this, we're not going to get too excited about it, obviously, but we are going to refresh the page and stall around here a little bit so we can find out what the hell is going on. You know, once upon a time, this kind of crap used to make me totally insane when technological stuff like this was happening. Not anymore. It's all cool, and we're going to get through it because we got 2 hours, and we're going to have a good time. All right, now... Here we go. Let's see what's happening.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Not to brag, but we're coming to you from Iowa. We'll explain why in just a minute. But first, here's an interesting story. Ronnie Jackson is a physician. He joined the White House medical unit many years ago under President George W. Bush. He stayed in that job. He went on to serve as physicians to two subsequent presidents, Barack Obama and Donald Trump. So Ronnie Jackson knows a lot about what it takes to run the country. During the 2020 presidential campaign, Jackson was home watching Joe Biden deliver a speech, and what he saw Biden say bothered him deeply as a physician. Biden had just announced that he was a candidate for the U.S. Senate. Watch.
I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
So Ronnie Jackson saw that and then went on Twitter. And he made the obvious point. Joe Biden, before this goes any further, should undergo a cognitive examination. The country deserves that. Well, within 20 minutes, Jackson recalls in his new memoir, Barack Obama sent him an email, a characteristically sneering one, and we're quoting, "I have to express my disappointment at the cheap shot you took at Joe Biden via Twitter," Obama said. "It was unprofessional. I expect better." So that wasn't just Obama speaking. That was the uniform command of the people who run the Democratic Party throughout the 2020 campaign. Do not notice what Joe Biden is actually like. If you see him on television, turn away, because you might conclude he is fundamentally, physically, cognitively unfit for office. But you can't say that, and if you do, Barack Obama will scold you personally, immediately. Well, fast forward a few years. Joe Biden's now the president, and his mental decline is no longer possible to deny, and therefore it's no longer off limits. Barack Obama isn't going out and defending Joe Biden's competence anymore. Everybody watching, everyone in the media, that would include Barack Obama's former advisors, is now in agreement that Joe Biden is senile and cannot govern the United States. Why?
He tends to shuffle sometimes because he has, mobility issues that the doctors have identified. Sometimes his speeches tend to be a little listless, or he seems to momentarily get confused or have trouble summoning names.
A third of them, the largest number, said age, that he was too old. Mm-hmm. That is a problem that's not going to get better. He's not going to get younger.
He's not going to get any younger. I think there are a lot of people who have looked at him over these last years and seen he isn't what he used to be 10 years ago.
He knows he's 80 years old, 79, 80 years old. He knows he's an old white guy in a party that's demographically changing and diverse, and the future is not going to be an old white guy.
When he does badly, when he stumbles, you get nervous, and you wonder, is it just a stutter, is he tired, or something else there? Listen, if anybody says that Democrats aren't beginning to have these questions behind closed doors, that's not true. People are.
So the problem with Joe Biden, says Mark McKinnon, is that he's white. Notice the casual racism of the left, 2022. It's ubiquitous. You barely even notice it. That's not the problem with Joe Biden. Who cares what his skin color is? The problem with Joe Biden is he's cognitively unable to serve. But take three steps back. That's not Joe Biden's fault. It's not his fault he has dementia. No, the fact that Joe Biden is president is an indictment of the media and the Democratic Party, because they have known. Contrary to what they're telling you now, Joe Biden's decline, his full-blown senility, has been obvious for more than 3 years. We noticed it. We're not doctors. By the way, we had no special animus toward Joe Biden at all. But we watched him. And we said this out loud for the first time. We checked today on May 14th, 2019. As of today, pretty much everyone paid to prognosticate on television still considers Biden the prohibitive frontrunner in the race. He checks every box. Therefore, he must get the nomination. That's how they think, because they're dumb. What they're leaving out of the equation is Biden himself. Watch this video and ask yourself if Joe Biden is really going to be the Democratic nominee, much less president of the United States. It was shot yesterday in New Hampshire. Keep in mind, we have not altered it in any way. This is entirely real. Watch.
Vice President Biden, do you have a comment on the Chinese tariffs?
I'll answer this question. The answer is yes, I do. The president has done nothing but increase the tariffs, the debt, and the trade deficit. The way you have to proceed is we have to have our allies with us. It's not just us. We have to keep the rest of the world together. Secondly, labor should be at the table, as well as our allies, because that's the only thing. And the fourth thing we should do is be focusing on the things that, in fact, I've been talking about for a long time. China's greatest violation is the way in which they steal our intellectual property. We should make it quid pro quo, as I've told when I was dealing with Xi Jinping. It should be simple. Here's the deal. You say that if, in fact, anything has to be owned 50% by Chinese to invest in China, guess what? In America, it's the same thing. This idea of dealing with all the only people that are paying the price are farmers and working people right now. He's going about it all the wrong way. A lot of bravado, no action.
But wait a second, you're saying to yourself, that didn't make any sense. Not a single phrase in a full minute of talking conveyed an intelligible idea, not one. That wasn't even word salad. It was a verbal Jackson Pollock painting. Nouns, verbs, adjectives spilled like cans of paint, bleeding into each other, a sticky postmodern mess. At one point, Biden actually jumped from point two directly to point four. Just to let you know that your old-fashioned linear assumptions about numerical sequencing are no good here, man. That's yesterday's mathematics.
So we put that on the air back in 2019, again, not because we were particularly against Joe Biden. He seemed a lot better than Beto O'Rourke or Mayor Pete. We put it on because we happened to be watching one day and tried to follow what he was saying about China because it seemed important. Not one national news organization had noted at all that this guy couldn't speak in complete sentences, couldn't convey coherent ideas. Nobody had ever mentioned that. And of course, anyone in Washington knew Joe Biden. He'd been there since 1972, and basically most people kind of liked him. He was a friendly guy. This was not the Joe Biden anyone who knew Joe Biden had seen before. He completely changed. This was clearly cognitive decline. This was dementia, obviously. So we drew a conclusion that now sounds ridiculous, but it seemed logical at the time. This guy can't be the Democratic nominee. He can barely speak. How did he manage to get through the campaign? Well, it turned out, we learned later, his staff, supervised by Dr. Jill, his wife, was giving him pills before every public appearance, checking the time and at a certain hour giving him a dose of something. Now, it's not a guess. We're not making that up. We've spoken directly to someone who was there and saw it happen multiple times. Now, before taking the medication, this person said, Biden was, quote, like a small child. You could not communicate with him. He changed completely because he was on drugs, and he clearly still is on drugs. No one's pushing to know what those drugs are. We should know. But the point is, Joe Biden's dementia was perfectly obvious to everyone around him more than 3 years ago. So we never thought this could happen. You can't make a senile man president of the United States. This is our country. This is a real country. It needs a real leader, even one you disagree with, but someone who's in full possession of his faculties. No one would ever do that. It's crazy. We're completely wrong. We're wrong because we underestimated the cynicism and the recklessness of the Democratic Party and the media who serve them. They will say literally anything, no matter how implausible or immoral, if it brings them more power. They knew exactly how incapacitated Joe Biden was. They lied about it. And the disaster we're living with today is a direct result of their lying. And it's getting worse. It's humiliating. Yesterday, for example, we could go on for an hour, we're not going to, but just to sum it up, yesterday Joe Biden tried to shake an invisible man's hand. Not the first time he's done this. He did the same thing in April. And both of those sad moments are on tape. Here they are.
God bless you all.
Great honor. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, President Herzog and President Biden.
So if you don't like Biden or his agenda, and we certainly don't, there is a kind of partisan glee you take from this. Look how pathetic he is. But, you know, if you're an American, there's no upside, actually. This is horrible for all of us. It reflects poorly not just on the Democratic Party or Biden himself, but on our country. And it's happening constantly with increasing frequency. On Wednesday of this week, during a trip to Israel, Biden announced that we have to keep alive the, quote, honor of the Holocaust. Huh?
Continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust.
It's just, it's absolutely awful. And again, there's no upside. So Joe Biden's senile. Everybody knows it. Do we win a prize now? No. We watch our country degrade. So you have to ask, who did this to the rest of us? Who's responsible for putting this guy in a position where he was elected president? Well, we could start the list of the culpable with Joe Biden's 2020 campaign manager, Jen O'Malley-Dillon. She did this. Where is she now? Well, she's now Deputy Chief of Staff in the White House. She knew exactly how senile Joe Biden was. Susan Rice knew well, too. Of course she did. Susan Rice now runs America's domestic policy out of the White House. Ron Klain knew perfectly well that Joe Biden was not fit to be president, that he has dementia. Ron Klain was elevated to White House Chief of Staff. And, of course, Dr. Jill, his wife, was perfectly aware. Members of Joe Biden's own family knew perfectly well and told other people about it. We've reported that before, and it's true. And yet they didn't stop him. Mike Donlin was the chief strategist of Joe Biden's presidential campaign. Now he's one of Biden's, quote, senior advisors. Same with Anita Dunn. She was once co-campaign manager. She's now another senior advisor for Biden and a former Obama communications director. She has massive power in this country. That's how she was rewarded for foisting this guy on the rest of us. Brian Deese, same thing. The man who screwed up our climate and energy policy during the Obama years. He knew perfectly well Joe Biden was senile. But he wanted power again, so he didn't say a word. Once again, same principle at work. People make grave errors in judgment. They do something horrible to the United States of America, and they're rewarded for it. They're never punished. They're rewarded. These people now run the country. And above all, Barack Obama. Barack Obama knew perfectly well that Joe Biden was senile. Barack Obama spent 8 years making fun of Joe Biden and degrading Joe Biden because Joe Biden has no dignity. He put up with it. But Obama knew that Biden wasn't fit to be president, and that matters because Obama is and has always been the person actually running the Democratic Party. And, of course, the media knew. They knew perfectly well. But they lied. From day one, they lied. Here they are telling us during the campaign that Joe Biden actually, shut up, ageist, is perfectly fine.
Well, he just decided to bypass the primaries and go right to the main event and kind of consign everybody else to the kiddie table.
That is Joe Biden at his best. That is someone who is authentic. Mm-hmm. It's the reason he connects with people. He is having fun. This is not heavy lifting for Joe Biden. Joe Biden never gave up on Joe Biden. And it reminded me so much of 2008 John McCain.
Look, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Joe Biden, we need him. You know, you hit play on your phone or whatever, and there's Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe Biden, talking in a way that I think Americans want to hear. The person of Joe Biden is a welcome entry into this race.
Every one of those people knew. Again, we knew and said so out loud, not because we have some special entree into the secrets of the Democratic Party. We certainly don't. We're hardly Democratic Party insiders, but because we watched TV for 90 seconds and we saw unmistakably the signs of dementia in Joe Biden. Every one of the people you just saw lied about what they knew. They hid that fact from you and the rest of the country because they wanted more power. But now the game is over for Joe Biden. As Mark McKinnon said, he's just too white. So suddenly our media is admitting what we noted 3 years ago and that everyone knew, that this was a scam. They are living with the mess they created. And we hope that they will never be allowed to avoid responsibility for what they did. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life.
Okay. We all know. Everybody knew. Now, let's go ahead and leave this here, these things that we know to be self-evident, okay, the truths that we've all talked about here. And let's look at something else. And that question, and the question is going to be this. What is Joe Biden's life expectancy? He's 79 years old right now. Okay? He's got the best medical care in the nation, but he's still 79 years old. Now, he says he's going to run again. All right. So the notion of the second term, the idea of the second term, raises, you know, another question. How long is this guy going to live? Let's just toss the obviously undeniable cognitive dysfunction he's got going. Forget about that. How long would he live in a second term as president? Well, Dr. C.J. Baker is a practicing physician who cares for numerous elderly patients and addresses dementia issues and end-of-life issues on a regular basis, had this to say, and he's got some information to share with us. Now, let's just say he wins re-election the same way he did last time, but he wins, all right? He wins re-election. So by the time of his second inauguration, he's going to be 82 years, 2 months of age. At the end of the second term, he'll be 86 years, 2 months. So how long does the average 79-year-old man have to live? Well, according to the Social Security Administration, the life expectancy for a 79-year-old American male is an additional 8.82 years for a total life expectancy of 87.82 years. Now, that takes Joe Biden late into 2029, maybe less than a year after the end of his second term. That's cutting it awfully close, especially for a man who is struggling as badly as he obviously is right now, but it gets worse. Hang on. Those Social Security numbers that I gave you right there for the average 79-year-old American guy, he's going to live another 8.82 years. That's for everybody. That's a blanket projection for everybody in Biden's age groups. But now let's remember, Joe Biden has dementia, and dementia shortens life expectancy. But by how much? A recent study by Carol Brain, published in the prestigious British Medical Journal, concluded that the median survival time from a diagnosis of dementia is 4.5 years for all people, 4.1 years for men. Now, let's be generous here, and we'll say that Joe Biden's diagnosis starts as of today. He's been diagnosed with dementia starting right now, July 19, 2022. So that 4.1 years takes us to about August of 2026. So in other words, by this measure, Joe Biden's most likely date of death is going to be about less than halfway through his second term. Now, there is a scale, a standard clinical scale for measuring the progress of dementia, and it's known as the Risberg Scale or the GDS, the Global Deterioration Scale. And the Global Deterioration Scale divides dementia into seven stages, seven being the most severe, one being the lightest, seven being the worst. And after a careful review of the criteria and of the available video of Joe Biden over time, Dr. Baker believes that currently he is at least a stage four, which is referred to as moderate cognitive decline. It's worth noting here, the president of the United States, keep this in mind, is one of the most supported and protected people on earth. Joe Biden makes limited public appearances. They're all very carefully scheduled. They're tightly controlled. They're highly choreographed. We, the public, we only see Joe Biden at his best. And think about what we've seen, okay? We're seeing Joe Biden at his best. And it's possible that this level of dementia may be stage five, which is moderately severe cognitive decline. And given his ability to still, you know, make prepared statements, give public appearances, he's probably not much further than that, according to Dr. Baker. So what's this mean? All this speculation, all this stuff we've broken down and unpacked here. Well, the cited average duration for stage four dementia is 2 years. For stage five, 1.5. Again, if we just very generously assume that Joe Biden is entering into stage four right now, then he's going to be progressing through stages four and five and into stage six, which is severe cognitive decline, by late 2025, approximately a year into the second term. In other words, a Biden second term presents the very real prospect of a president who cannot identify his family members, that he can't count down from 10, that he cannot control toilet function with 3 years remaining in his term. And another thing we need to look at, too, we've seen it all over the place, Joe Biden has a problem with falling. The recurrent falls are a very strong predictor of death in the elderly. The bike accident, the repeated stumbles, falling up the stairs, getting on Air Force One, the broken foot that he had when he was playing with his dog, these are all really strong examples of the evidence of the president being a fall risk. And these are just the incidents that we know about, folks. There are probably a lot more. And here's the thing, with each of these falls, and again, this is a 79-year-old guy. I know he's healthy or is in the best health that he can be, and he has the best health care around. But any one of these falls, falling up those steps, the bicycle wreck, any of that stuff, and whatever we don't know about, could have been a hip fracture very easily. And when an elderly patient falls and breaks a hip, their mortality within 1 year goes up 20%. And again, dementia increases the risk for falls, increasing the risk for hip. You see where all this is going. But wait, there's more. Biden also reportedly suffers from atrial fibrillation, okay, and that means an irregular heartbeat, and this puts the patient at a high risk for stroke. So he takes Eliquis, which is a blood thinner that prevents strokes, but significantly increases the risk of hemorrhage in the case of falls. So, and again, they don't talk about this, but he had a couple of brain aneurysm surgeries back in the 80s. So he takes these blood thinners to prevent the possibility of a stroke. But if he falls and he hits his head or he cuts his head or, you know, any kind of head trauma of any kind, while he's on these blood thinners, it could cause bleeding in the brain. But if he quits taking them, then the risk of the stroke jumps up. And that's kind of like where Biden is right now. So on election day, November 2024, Joe Biden more than likely will be alive. However, his dementia will most likely be sufficiently advanced by then that it will be obvious to anyone, which I cannot believe it is now, it will be obvious to anyone that he is incapable. He can't serve another term. He just can't. And by inauguration day of 2029, at what would be the end of a second term, Joe Biden more than likely will have died from natural causes. Now, this is some serious stuff. Okay, the people that are running Joe Biden, all those people, Jill Biden, Hunter, all these people that Hunter talked about, Tucker Carlson talked about there, that they've known this. They have known this. And here we are. Now, as far as anything happening to these people, what do you think is going to happen? The same thing that happened to Hillary Clinton, the same thing that happened to Chuck Schumer, the same thing that's happened to Bill Clinton, the same thing that happened to Paul. Nothing's going to happen to these people. It's sad, but really beyond the conviction in the court of public opinion, there's nothing else that's going to go on with these cats. They're going to still make money. They're going to still live comfortably. And they're not going to care what you and I think. They're not going to feel self-conscious when they're picked out in a grocery store because they're going to have somebody else doing the damn shopping. Huh. Oh, gee, man. I think we're going to take a little break, and we will be back with more of ACP after this brief musical interlude, if I can find something to play. But seriously, man, this cat is gone. He's gone now. And what's that going to leave us with? That's going to leave us with the word salad chef. Do we want that? Do we want that? I don't think so. We'll be back right after this.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate to tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might hurt me. Diamonds are forever. Up and then caress it, touch it, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part, nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love, for what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie.
Al Hurt. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective. Good to be back with you. We do it live here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that's on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you probably should be, because it is some of the very best in libertarian talk radio, just like the top quality programming that you find here on Patriot Nation Radio. We got some big news coming up, and I think the right to do that, the privilege of doing that, should go to the guy that's responsible for it, and maybe he'll let you know something tomorrow night. Of course, I'm talking about on the American Allegiance program, our pal Kevin White. Okay. But anyway, we got some exciting things that are happening. I'm really, really, again, proud to be associated with this great group of people doing what we do. In other news, Kamala Harris's speechwriter quit. What? Wait a minute. She had a speechwriter? The sad news. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Let's talk about girl here for a minute. What do we got? Yeah, there we go. Let's just give you an example of what's going on here. Oh, come on, baby, play.
Especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
You don't have to abandon your faith, whatever that might be, to agree the government should not be making that decision for a woman. And so that's why I say, let women make those most intimate decisions. Let people make the most intimate decisions that are about what I call heart and home, which includes contraception, which includes same-sex marriage. Let them make that and be free to make those decisions without government interference.
When you look back, did Democrats fail past Democratic presidents, congressional leaders, to not codify Roe v. Wade over the past five decades?
I think that, to be very honest with you, I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled. Certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
Speechwriter. Okay, well, while that stuff was playing, I read this thing, and no, this is not Babylon Bee. All right, this is not the Babylon Bee. This is real. The sad news came on Friday. I'm getting this, by the way, from Front Page Mag, great source, Robert Spencer, that alleged Vice President Kamala Harris's director of speechwriting, Megan Grube, nope, that's her name, G-R-O-O-B, Megan Grube is quitting. Grube had only been on the job since April. Her predecessor, Kate Childs Graham, quit in February. Now, the strangest part of this story, however, pardon me, I'm going to have to hit the mute button for just a moment. And we're back. The strangest part of this story is not the continuing revolving door on Harris's staff, because people have just, they've been in and out of there. They quit in droves. She's a nightmare to work with. But the fact that she had a director of speech writing in the first place, I mean, somebody wrote that? speech writer, okay. No, apparently. So, all right, so let's look at this. She's already gone through two speechwriters in, what, less than 2 years. And I cannot imagine who pulls the short straw on this one. That poor son of, that's going to be terrible. All right, well, so we're stuck with a couple of choices here if we look at this. And both of them are not particularly palatable either. She just has a really, really bad penchant for venturing off script and into incoherence. Or this Groob chick has got to be the most spectacularly incompetent speechwriter in the history of the known universe. Can you imagine being the composer of this Harris pronouncement on inflation? And I tried to find the clip, but we didn't have enough time. Well, first of all, one must acknowledge that prices are going up and that people are working hard and in many cases worried about whether they can get through the end of the month and make it all work. Or these pearls of wisdom about skyrocketing inflation. Prices have gone up and families and individuals are dealing with the realities of that bread costs more and gas costs more. This next one's my favorite. She was asked about the Biden administration's approach to the COVID scam, and she said, it's time for us to do what we've been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it's time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us now to slow this down. Yes, 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 she really said it. It's our vice president. Okay. Now let's jump back to Joe Biden dying within the next 3 years. Okay. All things being considered, let's just get to that. This is what's in the bullpen, guys. As the lineup is right now, this is as deep as we can get on the roster. Think about that for just a minute. Just a minute. You know, it's a cliche and it's a worn out phrase. And, you know, people kind of just meh when you hear somebody say it. But I think the next series of elections are going to be maybe the most important ever. And that's not a joke. I mean, look at what's happened. Okay? Look what happened under Barack Obama. Look what's happening now. So, obviously, the important thing is the midterms, the 22 midterms. As it still stands, there are at least 30 congressmen and senators who have said, I think this is a great time for me to go back home and spend time with friends and family down there on the farm and watch all those undocumented workers pick the apples. Or, you know, whatever it is. Okay, it doesn't have to be that. It could be tobacco. It could be tobacco. Whatever. But, so, if we discount, and we can't ever discount the ability of the Republican Party to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, they've done it a bunch of times. Things should go well. Now, here's the problem. Americans are sick of this shit, okay? Let's just say it. We're tired. We're bone tired. I'm sorry, can we say Americans on the radio? Anyway, so yeah, we are. We're tired of this. We've had it. We're not stupid. the larger measure of us are just simply not stupid. They're not. And we got to get organized. We got to get together. We got to start walking in the same direction, looking at the same path, and doing what needs to be done to move, to push back on this cultural Marxism, this socialism. And there's nothing else to call it. It's not forward thinking. It's anything but. It's not progressive. They've been trying to do this stuff for 150 years and it's never worked any damn where, and it's not going to work here. Totalitarianism, hard or soft, has no place in the United States, man. We all know it. They know it too, see? They know it too. That's why they're working so hard now. They don't care what public opinion is about Joe Biden. That's the reason they got Joe Biden. He's their decoy duck. Everybody's banging away at Joe Biden, talking this, talking that, talking about how he's out of his mind, and he is, and it's going to get worse. And, you know, all things being equal, these guys are going to be so desperate to stay in power, and that includes Kamala Harris. She's made a lifetime out of prostituting herself for a career. She wouldn't be any – what makes you think she's going to be any different? She's all of a sudden going to have morals? No. She'll do whatever they say just as much as Joe Biden did. She'll probably do more. And no, she doesn't know her ass from third base, neither does he. You know, they don't know poop from shinola. See, I didn't say it again. I got to work on that, though, here lately, man. I've been cussing a lot on the radio, and I shouldn't do that. So anyway, but you get the idea. So let's just say, all things being equal, Joe dies at some point, or he's forced out somehow. And, you know, we still got a couple of years. And as Dr. Baker, you know, with the information Dr. Baker shared with us there, what we're going to see is going to increase rather rapidly the further we move down this line. And that's what's going to happen. So they get rid of him with, was it, 25th Amendment, or, you know, he's incapacitated, whatever. Or somebody talks him into stepping down. Or, I don't know, something happens. And there we are. Now we've got her. And maybe we got her for 2 years. Well, that still gives them 2 years to find someone who may have a little bit more appeal to replace Kamala. I mean, she's great right now, and they know she's going to be compliant. She's going to be going along to get along with everything that they do, and that's there's no way around that. There's no way around that, and we're stuck with that. So that's one of the things I think that raises such a high degree of importance in terms of our vetting of the midterm candidate. And that's and I'm not just to Washington D.C., but to our county commissions, to our boards of education, to our city councils, to the individual states' houses of legislature, and on up the chain. In a political system like ours, the most dangerous thing in the country, the most viable, effective instrument of change in the country, is an informed electorate. Pay attention, man. It's one of your responsibilities as a citizen. And no, it isn't easy. And it can be dull. And it can be weedy. And it can be, you know, a circle jerk a lot of times, because you might be voting for the lesser of the evils. Maybe they're all, you know, maybe none of them are worth a crap. I don't know. And you, what do you do? But you've got to be able to make those decisions, and you can't make those decisions unless you am informed. And you got to go do it. And there are a lot of great sources out there that can help you do it. Joe Biden recently went to Europe a couple of weeks back on, I think it was the G Summit. Is that what it was? I guess that's for geezer. Grandpa, the grandpa's on. Why is it here? When's Matlock on? Anyway, I don't think Joe's much of a Matlock fan. But he was going to combine that. They were going to do the Geezer Summit, the G Summit. And then he was going to go from the G Summit, the G whatever, the G spot, to the to go to see to Israel, to the Mideast. And because he hadn't been there in a while to screw anything up, and they were overdue, so they were going to tack these things on. But then they got to realizing that, you know, we're talking about Joe Biden, and they can't do it. They didn't do it that way. You want to know why? Here's why. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, right now, as you and I are hanging out, talking about this crap, was physically incapable of sustaining the physical rigors of riding Air Force One to deluxe accommodations in Europe. And from there, riding Air Force One to deluxe accommodations into the Middle East. He couldn't do that. He physically could not do that. It would have exhausted. So they broke the trip up into two trips. On his schedule last Thursday, I think he was there last Thursday, 2 hours were devoted currently to the afternoon nap, to an afternoon nap. And the engagements end early on both days. You know, he doesn't have meetings. He doesn't have, he doesn't attend anything at night or in the evening. It's called sundowning. I'll leave it right there. He had to have a 3-week break in between these trips. So he spends a week in Germany and Spain. And he was originally going to fly straight to Israel. And he was going to go straight. He was going to spend a week in Germany and Spain. He was going to jump on Air Force One again, follow up Air Force One again, and go to Saudi Arabia. And Israel, again, first class opulence everywhere he went, everywhere he was going to go. The Israelis were not going to be outdone by the Arabs. The Arabs weren't going to be outdone by the Jews. Everybody's going to put him up, but they're not going to, you know, they're going to disrespect him. The Saudis are going to disrespect him and lecture him and treat him like a jerk, which he is. But they're going to, you know, they're going to comp him. He's going to get all the good stuff. He's going to get all the bennies. He couldn't do that. He had to have a 3-week break. That's something. I mean, seriously, that is something. And everything that we have found, discovered to be true, and we've known it for a long time, but now it's becoming a little more common knowledge as they're seeing more and more that, you know, the disposability of Joe is starting to stack up. The reasons for getting rid of him are starting to stack up. They're letting, you know, they're letting slip the things that we've always known. Pete Schweitzer knew all the secret empires, caught, you know, red-handed, throw them all out. All this stuff that every time there's been a scandal, and this is my new thing that I've been thinking about, water is the universal solvent. You leave something in water long enough, it's going to break down. It's based on time. Time is also somewhat of a solvent when it comes to these things, these cover-ups, these scandals, these treasonous acts, these grifters and con men sneaking around and doing all this crap that they're not supposed to be doing, these dishonest politicians. You know, they work so hard to cover up and deny and say nothing and throw dust and smoke and whitewash. And then, you know, if there's enough of them in it, they all stand together and you can't do a damn thing, or they're untouchable like the Clintons. And these two are reasons, and the time is right. And this midterm election is going to be one of these important times. But we got to do our homework. We have to be an informed electorate. We have to look at all this stuff. And we can't trust Fox. We can't trust MSNBC. We sure in hell can't trust NPR. We can't trust any of these mainstream. Honest, who do you think? Fox? You guys trust Fox these days? Now, there are personalities at Fox that I'm still a big fan of. Sean Hannity is one of them. Hannity's Interruptus, the guys on the Five. That's still a pretty good show. I like them. But that's about it. I mean, you know, how is Fox any different from CNN? I don't know. But, you know, and so now, you know, we've taken all this for granted. And these guys took advantage of it. The news media people and the news media complex, the industrial news complex, they've taken advantage of it. And they betrayed their trust. And, you know, their fellow travelers are those people on the left, and they were seduced by power or acceptance or influence or whatever. And they started tooting that song, carrying that water. No matter what. And when the time comes to change, by God, you better change. Like I said, all those people that were telling us that Joe Biden was the greatest mind since Winston Churchill, they're the same ones that are now saying he's got to go. They're talking about all his infirmities and his frailties, and they're ridiculing the guy, and they're dismissing him. None of them can be trusted. Me, don't take my word for anything I say. Don't take my word for anything I say. Look it up yourself. Most of the time I tell you where I get this stuff, and I try to do that as much as I can. But, yeah, find out. That's the whole point, okay? I started doing this because I love radio. I've always loved radio. I've loved radio all my life. It's a tiny little nipper with an AM transistor radio, pocket transistor radio, under my pillows in the bunk bed, slowly dragging that dial from one end to the other, listening to everything that was after on the AM band till it faded and I looked for something else. And in the 21st century, technology is such, and it's available and it's cheap. Anybody can do this. And when was it? I don't know when it was. 10 years, I guess. Probably about 10 years ago. Barack Obama had won his second term, so that would have been in 2012. 10 years ago, son of a gun. I decided, you know, I had something to say, and I had the opportunity to say it. And some really good people lucked up somehow and heard me. I was like a foundling. One of those little babies dumped in the garbage, and they, you know, are on the door of the world. But they took me in. They helped me out, showed me some things. And, you know, anybody can do it. If you want to do it. But you can get out there and you can find out this information. And there are good, solid, reliable sources out there that you can go to. Unimpeachable sources. Incorruptible sources. I do my very best to find those, and it's that information that I disseminate with you. But again, don't take my word for a single thing. Don't. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back. I don't know what with, but we'll come up with something. Oh, yeah, Canada. Let's talk about Canada. So nice, Canada. Hang on. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Drink to me only That's all I ask. And I will drink to you.
How long I've been on? I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas. You can sit in the sun and camp. I get my color from a sunray lamp when I'm in Las Vegas. I love the laughs and love the life. There's fun of every kind. Next time I come, I'll bring my wife. I'll do that if I lose my mind. A wife in Vegas, take my advice. It's like going to China with a sack of rice. But I love Las Vegas. I love Vegas in the summer. I love it in the fall. I love Vegas, may I say that it's a gasser, yeah. I love Vegas like it's Egypt and I am Nasser. I love Vegas every moment. Ooh, it's my favorite atmosphere. I love Vegas. Why do I love Vegas? Because my money's here. I love Vegas when I'm winning. I love it when I lose. I love Vegas like the army loves its manuals. I love Vegas like Sinatra loves Jack Daniels. I love Vegas every moment. Oh, Mr. Untrotter, I must cheer. Hey, you smart old. I love Vegas. Ach, du liebe, do I love Vegas? Because my blood is here. I love Vegas when I'm loaded. I love Vegas when I am not. I love Vegas, just like Khrushchev loves being indignant, more than even my wife Jeannie loves being pregnant. I love Vegas every moment. When I leave, I shed a tear. I love Vegas. I'll make it good and clear. It's because my girl's right here.
Thank you very much.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by
go, you know the thing.
The Me Too movement has forced a cultural reckoning around the issue of sexual violence and harassment against women in America.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Very poor choice of words.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids, wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
And why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
I was a Democratic caucus. Have you ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I got your work straight, Jack. Look, here's the deal. I'm not voting for you. Well, I knew you weren't, man. You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for you? You're too old to vote for me. I'm not sedentary. I get up and let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take down the T-shirt.
But the T-shirt knows a lot about it. His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul. I got to get this straight.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did, and back in those days, you see how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up, he said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor. You'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I mean, whatever happened to the old conservative discipline about paying for what you spend? I'm up for re-election this year, and I'm going to remind everybody what I did at home, which is going to cost me politically. When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor. We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
Paul Ryan was correct when he did the tax code. What's the first thing he decided we had to go after?
Social Security and Medicare.
Now, we need to do something about Social Security and Medicare. That's the only way you can find room to pay for it.
We've acted together. We have never, never, never been unable to overcome whatever the problem was. If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact engages in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact that's when things begin to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Not in hand yet, but ordered. We expect these additional 200 million doses to be delivered this summer, And some of it will come as early, begin to come in early summer, but by the midsummer, that this vaccine will be there. And the order, and that increases the total vaccine order in the United States by 50%, from 400 million order to 600 million. This is enough vaccine to fully vaccinate 300 Americans by end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. But we want to make, look, that's, I want to repeat, it'll be enough to fully vaccinate 300 Americans to beat this.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden. Look at my record. The fact is that some areas that I think, for example, I think health care is a right, not a privilege. I do not support Medicare for all.
To say you're going to govern as a progressive and enact programs in the mold of Sanders and Warren, and if so, what does that say to either moderate Democrats or independents or even some Republicans dissatisfied with President Trump?
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden. Look at my...
Oh, wait, he had a speechwriter too? Oh, my gosh. James Bott, Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. Doing it live a couple times a week here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, mojo50.com. A couple of weeks back, and actually he was supposed to be on tonight, but something happened and he wasn't able to make it, but we're going to get him in here just as soon as we can. Sean Witzman was with us, and he is a rock-solid citizen journalist who was in Washington, D.C. He was at the Capitol on January 6th, and he's been working to produce a documentary on that called The Bloody Hill. Excuse me. If the trailer is on YouTube, you can find it there, Bloody Hill. Check it out. And he's going to be with us here pretty soon. And I knew basically that what was going on January 6th was started by in the early 1930s, when the Nazis were coming to power, communism was making inroads into Germany. Well, the socialists, the national socialists, did not like the Marxists. They did not like communists. They wanted them out of there. So one night, I think 36, 37, the Reichstag building, their parliament building, catches fire. And they run in a guy, a Polish guy, who is supposed to be a communist. And he's the one that did it. And this gave the Nazis the impetus to consolidate their power under the justification of pushing back on the red menace of communism. They've also been called false flag operations and a lot of different things, you know, but that's what happens. And they create a set of circumstances, or they create an incident, and they blame the incident on their political opponents in order to gin up resentment and antagonism against them. And it's usually something pretty bad. And that's what happened January 6th. There were a lot of instigators that played their role, and Sean's going to be talking about that. But there were a lot of people there who didn't break any laws. There were a lot of people there peaceably assembling. They didn't commit any acts of vandalism. They didn't commit any acts of physical or property violence. They didn't do anything. They came to make known their dissatisfaction with certain elements of the national election. And a lot of those cats were arrested in the following days, and they've been held in considerably less than minimum conditions in D.C. County Jail. No due process. January 6th, a year and a half ago, these guys have been in no trial, no nothing. Denial of services. I don't really have any definitive way of knowing, but we'll ask Sean, because he's got an in to those guys when we get him on here. I guarantee you, Brittany Griner's in better conditions than what these cats are. I guarantee you. That's how petty and vindictive and dictatorial and oppressive and tyrannical the progressive left is, the Marxist left is. Now, a couple weeks back, that Stephen Colbert, or as I like to call him, that self-insistent son of a bitch, Stephen Colbert. Damn, I didn't. Anyway, Colbert sends his staff, okay, and basically do what the people, you know, a lot of people January 60th, they criminally trespass. People that attended Trump's rally, skillfully directed to the Capitol by Antifa activists and almost certainly agents provocateur from within the government. We know now how signage and fencing showing people they were trespassing had been removed by people with seemingly professional skills. We know how the Capitol Police invited people into the building, something even the increasingly manic and unhinged Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently admitted to. Locked up. If there's anything worse than solitary confinement in terms of conditions, I have a safe guess they probably got it there. Once this is all over and we find out how these people have been actually treated by the Department of Justice, well, that's one standard of justice. But it's a little different if you work for Stephen Colbert's show. That's the show that doesn't even make a pretense of humor anymore. It basically exists as the official mouthpiece for the Biden administration and the DNC, its propaganda arm. He quit being funny a long time ago. He was always self-insistent, but I could forgive a little bit of self-insistence with a decent sense of humor, but he sold his soul. So 9 members of Colbert's staff got busted for unlawfully running around in the halls of the Capitol building. They were arrested, they were booked, they were released. And the charges have been dropped. The U.S. Attorney for D.C. says they wouldn't have been able to secure convictions for the Late Show staffers that were arrested for unlawful entry and confirms that they were declining to prosecute. Innocent people locked up for 18 months, no trial. No prospect of one in the future. Their right to a speedy trial by a jury of their peers, shredded. The American people have known liberty for over 200 years. And it remains to be seen how long they're going to tolerate this type of injustice and how the dam's going to break when it does. And I'm of two minds of that, because sometimes the thought of that dam breaking really scares me for the country. Years I've been a Civil War reenactor, and in that time, you know, I've immersed myself pretty deeply in the history, American history, especially the Civil War. That was a terrible, brutal, awful thing. You don't have any idea, man. I mean, war hasn't been visited to the United States since then. Japan, Europe, other countries in the world, war all the time. Not here. Not since the American Civil War. Now, we're in the middle of a cultural civil war, an ideological civil war. There's no doubt about that. Good and evil, freedom and tyranny. And then I'm reminded of Thomas Jefferson saying that, I think it was Jefferson, that the tree of liberty from time to time must be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. I don't know. But, you know, it's a fearful thing. But at some, and then I think about it sometimes when I look at what all the left has done, what all they're doing, above and below the surface, you know, in the media, in our school systems, in our college and university systems, and throughout culture in general, and I'm thinking, man, you know, when we decide to stop this, it's going to take a lot of stopping because it's so pervasive. Not dead air, just kicking around thinking about it. And it's going to take a lot more than a successful midterm election to circumvent all this, okay? That's not the magic bullet. That's not what's going to do it. Because I can guarantee you, without an informed electorate, there are going to be a lot of rhinos come in there that are going to say whatever they think their constituency wants to hear. They're going to dress up in MAGA clothes and hats, and they're going to roll their sleeves up, and they're going to do, and then they're going to get into Washington, and they're going to be just like all the rest. Oh, gosh. Okay, I think that's about all we're going to do for this evening. I didn't realize the time. A Conservative's Perspective is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio at Patriot Nation Radio. Also, the recorded version of the show goes out on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern on Mojo50Radio.com. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out and ruminate over some of these things. I enjoy tremendously every opportunity I have to get to share this stuff with you. That's all the time we got for this evening. We'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.